Merry Christmas to you. Come on now, Spark Nation. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Livingstone Choir. What a presentation this morning. The amount of talent in this house is outstanding and astounding. It's beautiful. Hope Dealers to Dambozi to Jody, and of course, who's got the power? I greet you all this morning. 1 John chapter 3, that's where I stopped yesterday night. I just want to drop some truth and then we'll just praise God and close the service. Let's start from John chapter 3 verse 16, which I know if I say 1, 2, let's read, you all will read it. You know it, right? Okay, let's do it then. Let's just do it. John chapter 3 verse 16, 1, 2, go. Gift is miming. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let's start with this. If you're in Spark Nation this morning, you crossed many bridges to get here. Many. And I don't mean the location. You cross bridges of generation because they don't do all this in our family. We go to church, but this is not what we do. You cross the bridge of many friends, associates, people, words, all manner of thoughts, and people who believe they know how life should be. You cross those bridges. The problem is, did you burn the bridges or do you run back over when it's convenient? Because already for you to be here, I know you crossed it. So the question this morning as we enter 2020 is very clear. What God is asking of us, and that's all I came to drop. And after this, we're just going to praise God and close the service. Next Sunday is just called appreciation. Somewhere in central London. We have an urgent call this morning. For God so loved the world that he knew that the only way to take the world is by being selfless. God's key to the next generation, what God is looking for, what God is hunting for, or recruiting for, like they would say we do. What he's recruiting for is a bunch of people that are selfless. Otherwise, they will not be able to access the future. Why is the world in such a mess as this? Selfish. People whose passion is just about themselves. People who would destroy others in order to get self established is the kingdom of Satan. So for God so loved the world, and it's almost like God is left with nothing. I'm not sure I can really seriously. Everything was going so well. Then I looked here and how can I take you seriously? Like, oh, I'm taking in the word. Like, it's going to be difficult, bro. It's a preacher's son. So, son, you're doing the job, son. Yes, yes, father. Should I bring him forward so that people know why we're laughing? He just said he doesn't like too much attention. Jesus just walked silently. Humility. So it's more like God No matter how much love God has for the world, if it doesn't give, it stays in the realm of mind, psychology. That's all. So it doesn't matter how much you care about something. Without giving, and I'm not talking about money this morning. Without giving, people will still keep dying. Like last week, 3 people dead in London, young people. And all these people, or almost all of them, have been to Spark Nation, answered altar call, pulled out by media or by their parents. Now they are dead. And that's fine, right? That's all right. That's okay. God avenged blood over a city, over a people. So, but we don't know what love is. Are you right? We don't know what love is until, I'll just stay here. We don't know what love is until we then get to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read that, please. So, in John 3, 16, it said, for God so loved that he gave. But what is love then? What does it mean? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16.
This is how we know what love is.
So we don't know what love is unless John tells us. You know, John was the apostle whom Jesus loved. We don't know what love is. Everybody can sing love song like Gifties used to do on S Factor. You can sing it, but if you don't know it, you don't break to the next realm. So, Hollywood has defined love for us. All the movie industries, musicians, and then you read it from the book, right? Right? And they say this is what, but this is how we know what love is. Tell me.
Jesus Christ laid down his life for us.
So the way we know what love is that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And look, if that statement didn't continue, we would have said, that's great. Thank you, Jesus. You've laid it down for us. We don't need to lay it down. And then we'll sing, freely you gave it all for us. What that song reminds us is that is the next thing. What is the next thing, sir?
And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
Is that in your Bible as well? That Jesus Christ laid down his life. So the question the community will keep asking you is, why are you doing all this? Because this is the only way to know what love is. That Jesus Christ laid down his life, and everything that is called life, that's not just dying. Meaning he had a superior life. He abandoned it for an inferior life here. Selfless. He had things that he could command at will and bring it for his own comfort. But he had to lay that down. Selfless. So my message to you this morning is simple. The future you desire, the key to it is in selflessness. Don't mind what the world is teaching you. It's a trick. You know, when the world comes up with, you know, books like The Secret, which Paul already talked about. He said, don't let anyone deceive you with the mental, physical things of this world that has nothing to do with Christ. Christ says, you want the world? Yeah? He said, lay down your lives. You want to change the world, Spark Nation? And that's why I started with, you, if you are here this morning, you already crossed some bridges. You crossed generational bridges. Our parents or children may not understand why you do the things you do. You cross that bridge. It is called selflessness. When you get into 1 Corinthians, and the Bible talks about the gift of the Spirit, All these things are powerful. The gift. But you see, immediately after the chapter of the gift comes the chapter on love. And I love the scripture that you read this morning, because it's saying that with the gift, you cannot still take the world. The gift will profit you yourselves, but to take the world, you need the love. What is our fighting spirit? What keeps us fighting? What keeps us active? What keeps us not to give up? The sacrifice for others. That is the ultimate of Christianity. The ultimate of spirituality is how much you can sacrifice. By this we know love, that a man should lay down his life for his own brothers and his own sisters. It is not just the laying down of money, because government lays down money. But if Sadiq gives a budget to help young people, it's not his life. Why is God not giving you 1 billion to give to the church? I know you want to do so. He's saying it is not your money I'm after. It is your life. So how you give what you give took you a whole life. So it is not that that fellowship is not given, or this fellowship is not given. It is that they are not laying down lives. Simple. And look at how God saved the whole world. It only took one life. And he said, in order for this to spread, it needs 12. So when he called the apostles, the disciples at the time, they were 12, but he needed them to lay it all down. Peter needed to abandon what he was doing in order to follow him. And God gave Peter a deal. He said, follow me. He said, look, fishing is your life. This is the deal I came to strike with you guys this morning. It's a deal day. He said, fishing is your life, right? And with this fishing, you fed your family. You probably sent your kids to school. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, follow me and I'll make you. That's the deal God came to make with you this morning. Can you follow for his making? Because what the world wants you to do is to fish. And there are fishes there sometimes, and there isn't many times. And Jesus turns to him and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So now, everything that Peter had ever believed and been thought is going to lay down now. And the greatest gift that Peter is going to give himself right now, and give his generation, and give his family, and give his children, guess what the gift is? It's just going to follow. You know, following does not look sacrificial, because it's not you doing it. You're just following. You know, following does not look like you're achieving something. But what you don't know about following is that you are moving. So God forbid that you go follow a stagnant leader who is just spiritual. He preaches the word all the time. He doesn't wear this. He doesn't wear that. He's spiritual, but he's not moving. So you're not following. You are roaming around. Yeah, because you read John 3 last year. You will read it again in 10 years' time. So, he strikes a deal with Peter and says, I've laid down my life and I'm just going to look for those who can follow, because that's progress. The day you click followership is the day you click how to be progressive. I saw your son this morning and I heard you, Patrick. I heard you. I heard Cleon. You know, the 3G singing is what you should send to BBC. Say, I've got a feeling. More young people saying everything's going to be all right. More like, BBC, relax, have your Christmas. Everything is just going to be fine. So, God speaks through Paul about the gift of the Spirit, then he went to love. And he said, even if I have all these gifts and I do not have love, I become extremely ineffective in everything that matters. So I didn't come to share revelation with you this morning. I came to ask you your level of selflessness. The battle line is already drawn. I will not back down on the institution of giving and the right teaching of giving. I will not back down. I will not back down on young people sacrificing their lives in order to save a generation. No culture, no family. And so, almost in conclusion, the scripture that Gibson read, or one of them read this morning, one of the leaders read this morning, now says, after all of this, there remains three things. You know, in those three things, there is no gift of faith there. No gift of faith. No prophecy. No gift of healing. He said, after all those things have faded away, if you give me that scripture, it said, there abides three things. So why do I want to wallow in the other things when I should just go to the three things and pick the best? Let me even stay in those three, because after all, and I believe in the gift of the Spirit. But after all, yes, ma'am, and now?
And now, these three remain.
Why do they remain? Meaning every prophecy is the highest in the gift of the Spirit. Yeah. But the Bible then looks at prophecy and says, whether there be prophecies, they will pass away. They will go. It said, but there will remain three things. Now there remains these three things. These are the things. The gift of healing will be tested. We've seen healing movement in the body of Christ, and then it went away. We've seen the days of healing. We've seen gifts of faith. Then it went away. But there remains these three. Yes, ma'am.
Faith.
Number one is faith. For by faith we believe that the heavens were framed by the word of God. So faith has to remain, number one. Two.
Hope.
I don't know why hope is this powerful. Hope is amazing. Imagine, hope is more superior to prophecy. So give me someone that knows all the prophecy in this world, but give me a man that is hopeful. He or she just believes tomorrow is going to be better. He or she just believes that everything can change in a moment. You know, people will not break relationship if they have hope that things can change in a minute. You're fighting a multi-millionaire today. We will be a multi-millionaire tomorrow on 500 pounds. No hope. There remains these three things, faith. So whatever happens to your spiritual life, do not lose hope, because there remains these three things, faith and hope. So every man must wake up the next day thinking that change will come that day, right? They have hope. So what happens to a man who has lost hope? No more joy. They begin to listen to people who lost hope years ago. And when a person loses hope, you have to bow to the king called system. System is a king. I refuse to bow to system. You know why I can't bow to system? It's too late. Because for this reason, I have bowed my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So I can't bow to two things at the same time. I understand the system, but I will not bow to the system. For my God, whom I serve, is able to deliver me. And even if he doesn't, I'm not bowing to system. Not going to bow. I'm not afraid of longevity or short life. I'm afraid of a life that is not selfless. A life that is selfish. A person who stands before God and has no account of souls. God is waking up a new generation from the age of 15
people who will be selfless and who will refuse
the order of Nebuchadnezzar. As you journey in life, you begin to obey the order of Nebuchadnezzar, because he said, I'll heat up the fire. And churches and pastors can say this with mouth, but when it comes to it, when you really come in front of Nebuchadnezzar, you see this man has become system. Even though system don't mind you preaching against it. Just says, come worship me. Now, abides these three things, faith, hope. Then now, faith fades off. Hope is gone. And the third is what?
And love.
But the greatest of these three.
But the greatest of these is love.
How can love be the greatest? Because it is just God. So don't forget this. How do we know love then? Selflessness. Anywhere you find it, you find God. 100 selfless people can change this world. 12 did before. They don't see self. For they've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, they live. And selflessness can look like being naive, right? It's a vulnerable young people. Naive. They don't know. Ah, I know you've helped a lot of people in life, but you've got to be careful. I will not be careful. Listen, I just said it. I will not be. So we just need to be careful with people and da 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 da. I won't be. I'm fine. It's okay. Because I understand what God's presence means. For there remains these three things. What is one of the things that will make me not careful? It's very simple. One, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, do not be careful. That's what it says. So how can it then be the opposite? Well, but he said that in Greek, right? He said, do not take care about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Then number two, I've seen those who live the life of system, and I've seen the end of them, even those who made money from the system. I sit down with some of them and you look at the miserableness of their lives. It's unbelievable that a man has gotten to the top in business and made hundreds of millions. Of course, you know, before he got to that stage, he has messed many people's lives up. He's battered them. And he's got to where he thinks he wants to get to. And now he's there, and you'll be surprised. The little thing that gives him unrest. You'll be surprised the little thing that shakes him and destroys him. Friends, we found the key to life. Don't let anybody take it from you. I didn't come to preach this morning. I came to strike a deal. Don't let anybody take it from you. Selflessness is godliness. Yeah. Being selfless is the height of godliness, because that's love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. How do you demonstrate it? It is not your perfection. I've seen only selfish people. So thank you for your holiness, but you are selfish. So you don't know anything about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He had to do that if he really wants to save the world. Do we want to change the world? Do we want to be a new generation? Do we want to erase all the handwriting of devils and demons in our generation? It is not prayer, friends. It is not fasting, friends. It is selflessness. How will hope dealers take over completely eventually? They will just be a bunch of selfless people. And you know, the world cannot stop you from stagnation or from doing what is right if they don't appeal to the selfless nature in every man. So their speech will always be, well, what about you? Now, okay, I hear all you're saying, but you, when you start hearing that, the man of misery, Satan, who appeared in Eden, had come. He's there now. If he can't appeal, that's what he did at the first place. He said, look, God said you should not eat of this fruit. He said, but because he knows when you do it, you will become a taught woman, the woman and man, how they can become what they think they want to become. So once it turned the attention from God to self, he already won. So every man has selfishness in them. The godly man is the selfless man. If you take Jaden is 16, right? 13. If you take him to school, like you're doing, bought him uniform, and he lives with you as your son, that's naive. Because everyone who looks at you then will say, what are you doing? Do you know him? But you see, that Jaden or whoever else in each person's life, you see, that's God in your life, you know. Because what you just did there is anti-system. That's God. You see the God Christians come and shout at and calling all manner of names and invoking spirit. He said his name is love. And by this we know love. The moment it becomes convenient for you to do it, it is no longer God. So that's why it leaves us in inconvenient positions so that it can really be selfless. Why can't God have 10,000 sons? You didn't hear me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. So God set himself up from the beginning so that he can only have one. So that when he gives that one, it is an act of selflessness, not a demonstration of plenty. Tithe is a demonstration of plenty. It is saying, I have 10%, I have 90, you can have 10. No, no, no. It's a demonstration of plenty. It is not the demonstration of all. So Jesus always gets us and gets you into this position when what you have to give is all you've got left. But Saul just said it. They were going to feed 5,000 people. He set them up into the wilderness where there is no food. Now there are just 5 loaves and 2 fish or fishes. They were in a dire state. No more provision. Everything cut off. Those 5 loaves were looking for a savior. Because the job of the 5 loaves is multiplication. And if they don't become 5, if it is still 50 loaves, they are not useful. Spark Nation, you're not listening to me. How will you get to your 5,000? If you don't become 500 or whatever, you don't become useful. The ability to multiply comes from a tight corner. That ability is in you. And that's why we're saying next Sunday is appreciation. You're going to take what is left. Is a set up. God set you up into what you call little left. What are you going to do with the little? The Bible says Jesus looked up and said, thank you, Father. And he said, get the people to sit down now. We've entered another realm, Spark Nation. He said, now get the people to sit down. And then he called the apostles, the disciples. He said, we're about to feed 5,000. And they'll look at him and say, with 5 loaves. He said, no, 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 that's what my Father does. That's always his work. It doesn't multiply plenty. It multiplies few. In order for him to get the whole world, he set himself, oh my God, you know, are you listening to me? He set up Abraham. And all that he gave Abraham was Isaac. He couldn't even use 2 sons. God wanted just one. Saying, in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. God wanted all the nations, but he only needed 1 son.
So he shut the womb of Sarah, made sure Sarah cannot give birth, so that Sarah is in a dire strait, is in a situation, is called barren. Even when they set up and got Ishmael, God said, too many people. God said, that's too many. Abraham is thinking, yeah, just to bless them. God said, it's got to be one. And even that one, I need you to go kill him. The mysteries of Christ. I've got this hope. That's why you must never be afraid of anything. Are you listening to me tonight? It took that one Isaac, and that Isaac gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob gave birth to the 12. But God says, this guy has too many children. I will make them tribes, but I need one. The Bible says he sent a man before them. He sent Joseph. That was the only man he was looking for. He was going to multiply them through this one man called Joseph. Why do I say you've crossed many bridges? You were sold from generation. God said, I cannot bless you, Joseph, in the house of Jacob. I need to send you abroad. I need to send you where others have not been. They didn't hear me, Lord. He needed to send him where others have not been. He needed to send him on a journey that his family is not used to. I'm on a journey that my family or clan are not used to. I'm not going back home. No way. Not going back. I'm on a journey. And you see, in that journey, right? Joseph was sold. He was lied against. They accused him of rape. But God Almighty was setting him up for a victory that eyes have not seen. Hey, if he's going to multiply you as one, you will go through cells that eyes have not seen. But when the time of glory comes, there will be no asking, did you do it or not? There will just be, give us a solution, please. We are in dire straits. Don't pray for me, please. I'm on a journey that God has set before the foundation of the earth. And he sends one man. I have a conviction in my spirit. You are one in your family, one. Sister, you didn't hear me. I said you are one in your family. I love your family members. They are probably good people. In fact, I think they are better than you. But it's not a matter of betterment. It's a matter of purpose. God positioned you for such a time as this. One. Just one. So I don't see many people in church. I came this morning to look for one person. Who is God sending? Who is God using right now? Whose heart is open to God right now? Who has no doubt in their spirit right now? I'm not looking for 1,000. I need one man. God wants to change a generation. He's looking for one man in the 3G. For God so loved the world. But he will always ask that one man, are you willing to be sacrificed? And said, they are spoiling your name all over the world. I said, thank God they even know my name. Spell it right. Spell that thing right. It is T-O-B-I. It is not T-O-B-Y. Y will never end my name. It is I. You didn't hear exactly. I am. My name is Toby Adepoyega. Look at you praying for me to be out of what? I want to burn. If I need to burn, I want God to purify me. I want God to sanctify me. I want to be a vessel for God. You know why? If I'm useful, the world will not ask me what I did do or didn't do. They will just say, we need you. That's what God is raising you for. Shout hallelujah! Imagine by the fire now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego family praying. Oh God, don't let the fire burn them. Oh God. The guy already said, listen, we will not be careful to answer you, O King, in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able. And in case he's not able, we are able. You didn't hear what I just said. They just told the king. You know they didn't call on God once. No, no. God came into the fire uninvited. Rabba de boko soto priya kataya. Ekabaraba sikaya nde de boko soto priya. I said, in their fire, a guest shows up. And they are thinking, we didn't even call you. We just spoke for you. We just told the word that we will not back down. And God left his throne and said, I love these kids right now. I'm enjoying these kids right now. I found the people I'm looking for right now. They are willing to rush to death because they're not, are there soldiers in this house? I'm just thinking this morning. I'm just thinking, Jesus, you gave so much. Give us chance to give now. They didn't hear me, Lord. I said, I'm calling on Jesus. And finally, he gives me access. And in his mind, he thought this is Toby has come to the throne. And he's going to say, come and help me. Look at all these enemies around me. I've helped a lot of people and they are saying this. No, I just said, Lord, you gave a lot. Give me a chance to give. Stay, I'm coming. Put me to sleep in a car with my kids. Listen, church, let me tell you something. Sit down. Let me tell you this. Your clothing now, the clothes you wear, shirt, trousers, shoes, is changed from loops and wrenches to your talent, your gifting. You caught their attention. Now forget about those clothes now. If you have them, you have them. Forget about it. Now that the word has seen you, now working with your poetry gift, Patrick, work with your, that is now your new clothing. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. That is what the God of Almighty was doing. It is no longer the Balenciagas now. It is your raw talent, your ability to be at the cutting edge of what God is doing in a generation. Shout hallelujah! You are now the embodiment. Why is Givenchy & Co. expensive? They were expression of excellence. You have become that excellence. You radiate the glory of God. Don't back down from speaking. Be the best. Be bold at work. And say, if they spoil your name like this and you go to places, they might think, oh, that guy. No, as long as those places are available, when they meet me, oh, they will love me. Oh my God, they will love me so much. They will not be able to do without me. You know why? Because every rope has been burnt in the fire. And I'm aware that it needs one man in all generation. Can I stop by saying you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood? You are a city set upon the hill. You cannot be hidden. You are one in your family. Don't become like others. What if we're talking about love?
They're saying the brothers and sisters that we want to save are the ones calling venues not to let us have service, to do this to us, to harm us. God says, well, listen, Joseph's brother did the same. If that's not been done to you, you are probably not Joseph. It doesn't mean you have favor. Imagine Joseph goes to have favor with his brothers and does not have favor with Pharaoh. Lord, please, I don't want favor. I want flavor. So, because the Bible says we are Christ's aroma. Sweet smelling. Salt of the earth, right? So it is that flavor that I want. So that I don't go get favor with the wrong person. Because if I get favor with the wrong person, I will be kept in the wrong location. And I will be enjoying comfort zone too early, too quick, too premature. So stop mourning about is God really hearing me or not. Let him perfect what he's doing in your life. Let him take you on that journey. And sometimes you will have to be sold right there in Egypt. But God has a purpose for the Israelites in Egypt. Please, I beg of you, say praise God. Yeah. There's a place for favor. And there's a place for flavor. Favor will come. But right now, what are you? God's aroma. These the mysteries of God. I like prophecy, it's fine, because the Bible says do not despise prophecy. I like faith, but embrace love. What is the next 10 years going to hold? I told you yesterday, I don't know, but I want to sign a pact of selflessness today. Selflessness will bring back stabbings, betrayals, lack, misunderstanding. People will think you are what you're not, but if true selflessness, Christ took the world. You and I can take this nation. The wrong Islamists, how did they advance? These guys were willing to send their children to die. They died for a cause they believed in. Wrongly so, however, still so. When they can't penetrate a place, they kill themselves. Wrongly so, the wrong ones, the extremists. What do we do? We, not just being able to pay a ticket, we go to God. I don't know why my life is going like this. And I saw. God says, really? Joseph, that took a nation, till today, his rape case is not solved. It's not solved till now. Why? God don't care about solving it. God don't care about vindicating Joseph. God cares about his purpose. That's what God says. He cares about what he wants to do. And can I make an announcement over your life? Ikaliata. What God has proposed to do, no man, no power, no evil, no accusation can stop him, because what he has made up his mind to do. I thought you were the Louise they're always talking about. Why did you disappear? Sorry, there's a Louise apparently. So I thought, oh, she. Sorry. So where is the Louise then? No, you don't understand. The one that they saw on TV. For you I pour it up. For you I pour it up. I pour. God forbid, never. I needed to tease you this morning. For you, I pour. Praise like oil.
I pour it out for you. I come before you.
Talk to me.
Just as I am, I lay me at your feet.
I lay me at your feet, Lord.
I bring before you
everything, Lord. I come before you. Just as I am,
just as I am, I lay me at your feet. I bring before you, Lord.
Now sit down, please. And I'm just talking to those who are ready to sign the pact. It's a pact, it's an agreement of selflessness. It is where the power of God lives. The power of God dwells in selfless bodies. The wisdom of man dwells in selfish head. God's power. You can become president of any nation if you understand selflessness. That's all. Forget all the grammar. The best people are not usually the best leaders. I don't know about church or how they run church. All I just know is that when it comes to doing service, serving God, we'll just do what it takes to serve God. Simple. There are global leaders in this house. There are world changers in this house. But I need to warn you about this. The world will appeal to your selfish self. And they will keep talking. And they will not stop. So as we worship, we're just rebuilding that selfishness, selflessness. Destroying selfishness and saying, that's not me. Mobilizers should not be looking for you to give. Unless you look at the work, your church, and say it's derailed. It's not on the course of changing lives anymore. I vow to God, everything I get will be in the gospel 100%. It's a vow. Well, how would you then raise your children or children and children to come? If the people I raise can't raise them, then it's all a failed system anyways. So I'm willing to risk and dare it. They're supposed to be raised by them. So you teach them. Every kid must understand selflessness. Every child. I'm asking you to let us journey on this for the next 10 years again. As we end a decade in a few days. But for you to come on this journey, you must be fearless. Because it will look like, what about your life? Have you heard those speeches before? And sometimes, you're tempted, you shouldn't do it. You're tempted to ask the person asking you, what about yours? What gave you the qualification to be a life coach? Age? I have understanding more than the aged because I listen to your teachings. And what Joseph, because Joseph must not be against his father or mother, the man was dead, or his family. He must only know that God raised him to help them. God blessed him in order to prevent them
from dying in poverty. But if that's the case, friends, his journey will not be like theirs. Their journey will be very different. Since next week is appreciation in central London, I think what we should do, everyone here, is to take a loaf of bread and multiply it. One soul each. Get into the principle of multiplication. You see, this first and second rule, I'm mystified. How many chairs are here? It's like people are sitting on their laps. I've been checking it and thinking, is this an actual chair? They said it's the mystery of multiplication. How do I end this service now? Have you been blessed by the word? Give God praise. Yes, of course. I'm not suggesting that the fire and the journey, which is peculiar to you, is easy. I'm not suggesting that all the pressure they're putting on Spark Nation is easy. That's not my suggestion. I'm not suggesting that it does not affect your numbers or affect your finances or affect, but the problem is if it does not, then there's a problem. God asked me yesterday, said, look at all the churches that they say nothing about. Do people go? Pastors are agonizing right now. The once upon a time biggest churches are agonizing and people are not coming. Where are these people gone to? But God is counting on you. As one people, He's counting on you. He's thinking, would I lose this generation or would they stand for me? And I've made up my mind to stand. Even if I'm the only one standing. And I know I'm not going to be, because I know many of you have made up your mind to stand. So if we have difficulty, financial, whatever, we're going to have it together. We're going to have to stand together. And nobody is under fire, start behaving like someone said, he's playing games. It doesn't look like he's under fire. What should I be doing? I should have knelt down in front of my camera and start crying. I'm on a fire. I don't know what people want me to do right now. Like, exactly, I'm on a fire. Then the fire is not burning you yet. Look, there are some fire, when they really burn you, you'll just be laughing. It's not because it's funny or you are happy. It's just that the fire is tough. That's the kind of fire that will make PT go play Nintendo or whatever that thing is. That's how you should know he's under fire. Oh Lord, how should I end this now, Pastor Crystal? You don't know after all these years. You don't know how I should end this. She says she doesn't know. She's still saying, I don't know. Oh, praise. Huh? What you say? Only love should make a way. Beautiful, beautiful. When only love.